Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, you do have open lines at 844-322-2742. Welcome to this edition of Basic Gospel. So glad you have tuned in. We hope that this 30 minutes will be a great source of encouragement and hope and grace and truth for you. So if you have issues that you would like to discuss on today's broadcast, we sure would love to hear from you right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're talking about hope this month and how hope is such a powerful motivator in our day-to-day lives. Without hope, we just kind of wither up and dry up and you know, can't really make much of life on a day-to-day basis. But with hope, that breathes fresh life into each and every one of us. So hope is a powerful motivator. And here's one of the things that I've observed through the years of just talking with people and ministering to people. They're normally loyal to the people who offer the most hope to them. Now, the most hope that we can ever receive is from God Himself. Why? Because He is the God of hope. And this gospel message is covered, dripping with hope, the very hope that God Himself is the essence of. So if we want to really have hope in the world, we need to look to the Lord. We need to look to God, to the God of all hope. And when we recognize the hope that is in the gospel, then it is going to shape the way we handle our day-to-day life. For example, in 1 Peter chapter 5, we read these words: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. God resists the proud, He gives grace to the humble." When we receive this good news of Jesus Christ, we are humbling ourselves and saying, "Lord, we're ready to receive what only You can provide." And what is that? It's life. It's eternal life. We can't find that out there in the world. We can't find it through the things that we do. We can't earn it through our good works. It has to be given to us by grace. And so when we recognize that, when we recognize our true condition, that humbles us, and in that state of humility, we can receive the gift of eternal life from God our Father that has been made known to us or given to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So we humble ourselves. Why? Because we've recognized the love of God. We recognize that He has something for us that we can't earn for ourselves, and so we humbly receive it. We receive that gift of life, and we recognize that it was given to us because of God's great love for us. So the gospel message ties us to the love of God. And so as we know that God loves us, and as we grow in that, then we can carry out this next passage in verse 7, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Our hope is in God. So when life throws us all kinds of adverse circumstances, we don't have to lose hope. We of all people are the most hopeful ones. Why? Because we're connected to the God of hope. So during those times, we can cast our anxieties upon the Lord. Why? Because He cares for us. What enables us to do that? What empowers us to do that? What motivates us to do that? It's the hope that we have in Christ. So when things look hopeless as far as life is concerned, they're not hopeless for us. Why? Because we're connected to the God of hope. And in those moments where things look dark and bleak, we can cast our anxieties on the Lord. Now, this word anxieties is an interesting word in the Greek text. it's a word that talks about a disruption or a disturbance of the mind. It's something that really shakes you up on the inside. So we've all gone through those sort of things. We've all had that experience in our lives. But when those experiences come to us, when we have this disruption in our minds and there's confusion there, we can step back and say, I'm going to cast that upon you, Lord. Why? Because you're the God of hope, and I need hope, and I know in casting this upon you that you're going to get me through this particular situation. That's the hope of the gospel. That's what the hope does in our lives. It motivates us. It moves us forward. It anchors us. It shapes how we handle our day-to-day lives. Is hope important? You bet you. It's the most powerful motivator there is for a human being, and we have it in abundance in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We're so glad that you were with us today. My name is Bob Christopher. Call us with your question at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. I want to remind you, we have a wonderful resource we want to put in your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. It is the book, The Hurt and the Healer, by Andrew Farley, our good friend Andrew, and our board of director, Andrew, who serves with us, and Bart Millard, who is the lead singer of Mercy Me. So we want to put this book into your hands. It's available as our gift to you, our thank you gift for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. So go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. And there's a big banner right on our homepage that talks about the hurt and the healer. Just click that big banner and then follow the instructions, and we'll get this book into your hands. It's going to be a great resource to you. It will really amplify what we've just talked about on casting your cares upon God, because He cares for you. So that's what this book is all about. It is practical help for you in your day-to-day life. It's also a great resource to give to somebody else, to put in their hands and to help them in their journey with Christ. Again, we want to put that into your hands, The Hurt and the Healer. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, and follow all the instructions there, and we'll get this book into your hands as quickly as we possibly can. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome your call, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's go to our phone lines, and we'll begin today with Greg. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Bob. How you doing today?
We're doing great, Greg. How about you?
Hello?
Yeah,
I'm doing fantastic.
So what's on your mind today?
Okay, so in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is speaking to churches. We know those are called out assemblies of believers in Jesus. Verse 4, he tells the church of Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. And verse 14, he tells the church at Pergamum, but I have a few things against you. Now, here's my thinking here. We know that they've been forgiven of all their sins. So how can Jesus have something against them?
Well, I think he's just he's just talking to them about living it out. And, you know, they've kind of missed the mark as far as their missions as churches are concerned. So it would be like this, Greg, say you're a believer in Christ. You're a teacher of the Word of God. You do sermons and that sort of thing. Well, what if you started teaching that everyone's saved? You started teaching universalism. Well, I think the Lord would say to you, I have that against you. That's not in accordance with truth. And I want you to change your mind and to get back to teaching the real gospel. So that I think that's kind of what this is relating to. It's for this church at Ephesus. My goodness, you know, that letter to the church at Ephesus is just an unbelievable letter about the grace of God and about the love of God and the fact that the Spirit had come to live inside of them, and that the Spirit was going to strengthen them in their inner man so that they could know the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. And then the Spirit of God was going to empower them to walk in the way of love. That's what that book is all about. And here, years later, they've lost that first love. They've lost what God was doing in and through them, through the Spirit, and they said, no, our mission has to be in standing up against evil. Those crazy Nicolaitans, man, they do all kinds of evil things, and we need to stand up against them and do everything that we can to rid the world of their type of evil. And they forgot the power that they had in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the love of Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is just correcting, discipling, training them and saying, hey, I want you to get back to what I was doing in and through you to begin with. And I think that's all he's saying in these particular letters. So it's not a judgment against sin. We know Christ took upon himself our sins. It is just the discipline of the Lord to this particular angel at the church of Ephesus or the church at Pergamon.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense, Bob, and thank you for that explanation. I suppose it's kind of like when you're a parent and you love your child, it hurts so bad to see them live beneath who they actually are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as a parent, you're going to correct and say, I have this against you. And the reason I have it against you is because it's causing you harm. It has some consequences that are negative. And I want you to experience the fullness of who you are as a human being.
Well, yeah, and that makes perfect sense with what he says to the church at Pergamum about some people they were tolerating. He says, I'll come and fight against them, not the believers, but those who are not believers and living in horrible ways that they were tolerating. So that's interesting, too. He doesn't fight against believers. So anyway, thank you so much, Bob.
You're welcome, Greg. Great question. Appreciate the call, my friend. Let's go to Aaron, who's listening to us in Texas as well. Hi, Aaron.
How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How about you?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my question. My question today is coming from 1 John, the third chapter, I think it's verse 20, and what John says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. And I read somewhere a translation, it's conscience. If our conscience condemns us, God is greater than our conscience, who knows all things. And I'm just trying to put that together with the context of what John is talking about. I know he's talking about believers, but they're trying to get some understanding out that verse. If you can please do that for me, and I'm going to get off and listen to your answer. Thank you so much.
Okay, Aaron, great question. Sure appreciate the call today. Now, as far as God being greater than our hearts, I think what John is saying to us is that God's word is greater than what our hearts may say about us. And God's word says this, therefore, those who are in Christ Jesus, there is now no condemnation for them. So God has spoken, and that word is very, very clear that in Christ there is no condemnation. We were under the condemnation of sin and death. That's how we came into this world. But God rescued us from that. He saved us. He set us free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. So we go on in Romans 8. That's Romans 8, 1, about not being any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We go on into Romans 8, down toward the end. If you know, who can accuse us? If God's for us, who can be against us? So my heart, my mind, my conscience may say to me, you're guilty. But God is greater than my conscience. What God has said is greater than what my conscience may say. So if I'm going to choose, I'm going to choose what God has to say about me. And I'm going to let that truth really sink in and change my conscience so that it feels clean before the Lord. God has already cleansed it. God has already done the work. We're forgiven people. And so we need our minds to align with that truth. And as it does, then we're going to have confidence before God on that day of judgment. And that's what this passage is all about. So God is greater than our hearts. His word concerning us is greater than what our minds can say about us. There are so many people out there that live in self-condemnation. And they struggle with this question, how do I forgive myself? Well, I mean, we have to step back and say, wait a minute, hold on. I mean, do you think your word is greater than God's word? Because God's word has already said that in Christ you have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. God's word has already said that I write to you, my little children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of my name. God's word says anyone who receives Christ receives forgiveness of sins. God's word says that all of your sins have been forgiven. God's word said that you have been declared righteous, which means that all of your sins have been forgiven. So that's God's word. It's very clear. It's very simple and profound. You don't need a Greek education or a seminary education to understand what those words mean. They mean that your sins have been forgiven. Now, your conscience or your mind or your feelings may tell you something different, but your mind, your feelings, those things are less than what God's word has said. So if you want your mind and your feelings to change, you better stick with what God has to say. And when you stick with what God has to say about your sins and about the fact that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, when you start to stick with that, you will see that mind of yours, that conscience of yours, lining up with the truth. And when it does, you'll experience the freedom that you look for, that freedom in your day-to-day life. So hope that helps. That was just a fantastic question. We do have some open lines at 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. Victor is watching us via YouTube today, and he has this question: brothers, is it wrong for me to visit another church if I was invited when I'm committed to one already? Well, no, it's not wrong to visit another church. No, it's not wrong to assemble together with another group of believers. You're a member of the body of Christ, and that body of Christ is every believer on planet Earth. So you belong to every other believer on planet Earth. Now, that happened the moment you believed. You entrusted yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You received him. And in receiving him, he placed you into his body. That was something the Spirit of God did. The Spirit baptized, placed you into the body of Christ. Now you're a member of the body of Christ. And so you belong to Christ. You belong to all the members. That's how God set this up. That's how he brought it about. Now, you decide to assemble together locally with a group of believers. Maybe it's at a church. Maybe it's in a home Bible study. Maybe it's in another particular group, but you're assembling yourselves with believers. Why? To encourage and stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's why you connect to other believers, so that you can experience that body life, so to speak. So if you're invited by a friend to go visit another church, you don't have to feel guilty about that. You don't have to wonder if that is out of line. I think you can go and rejoice in meeting some other believers. I think you can really have a good experience with that. You can see how they worship, and you can maybe kind of get the message from a different viewpoint that helps fill out your understanding of what this good news is all about. So, yes, it is okay for you to go visit another church if you are invited and you're so inclined to do so, and you can do so without guilt, without condemnation. It can be a very joyful experience to you. Well, I hope that helps. Victor, thanks for watching us on YouTube, and we're certainly glad to have you with us each and every day. This is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We have a wonderful offer that we want to send to you this month. It's The Hurt and the Healer by Andrew Farley and Bart Millard. If you would like a copy of this book, it will be an enormous help in your relationship with the Lord, an enormous help in understanding how you think and how feelings follow thought, and in understanding that, how to really begin to see God renewing your mind so that you can live in this freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. So we want to put that into your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Go to basicgospel.net, click on the big banner, the Hurt and the Healer banner, and then follow all the instructions, and we'll get that book in your hands as quickly as possible. We had this this question from Jesse, who responded to one of our YouTube videos on our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. And just a quick plug, if you haven't subscribed, we encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe. You'll find all kinds of answers to various questions that believers ask, and I think you will benefit greatly from all the different messages that are there. But Jesse writes this: why in Revelations 2 and 3 does our Lord hammer incessantly about repenting of ways that are not in line with his word? Well, again, these letters, or the book of Revelation, it's a series of letters to the seven churches. And these seven churches were in the province of Asia, what we know as Turkey. And these letters or these messages were to the angel or to the messenger or to the leader of those particular churches. And those particular leaders were leading these churches away from the gospel message. Now, maybe they thought they were doing God's work, that this is the direction that they were supposed to be doing. Well, God, through the Apostle John, was saying to them, you need to change your mind. And that's what the word repent means. It means to change your mind. You're going down this path. Let's look at this. Let's reason together about why that's not the appropriate path for you to walk down. Let's examine some of the attitudes, some of the beliefs that have led you down that path. And then as we do, I want you to change your mind and get back in line with what your real mission as a church is. And that real mission is to be ministers of this new covenant, ministers of life, ministers of reconciliation, ministers of the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want to finish the task that God has given me, and that's the task of testifying to the grace of God. And that's the task of every church, to testify to the grace of God. And so when God sees these different churches in Revelation going off the mark, he brings them back and says, change your mind. Let's get back to doing what I've called you to do. Well, we've come to an end of another broadcast of Basic Gospel. Thank you for being with us. Now for our entire team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.